Okay.
All right. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Hector.
It's good to see your faces. You know, especially from a sitting perspective, you know, not standing, so it puts me in less tension. You know, I don't have to stand in front of everybody. And yeah, I like it this way. It's like a Bible talk. And you know, while we're, you know, thinking about where to go and coming over here, I was thinking in my head, should I change the message? A thought just came, because I thought of this scripture where the Israelites were moving from tents, you know, from place to place. So I was thinking maybe I should share about that, how Israelites should share someone on that. That really fit us this morning. But I'm so thankful that we could all find a way around it. And Kosti and Marina could open their house, you know, to still have us. Let's put our hands together.
Die Garderobe ist runtergestürzt.
Yeah. How many of us are happy to be here this morning? Just a show of hands. If you are very happy to be here this morning. I'm happy, guys. You guys just scared me.
I didn't know what's interactive.
Okay, I mean, okay, yes,
I'm very happy.
You're very happy.
Very happy.
Okay, good. All right. Today.
I'm focused on translating, so I'm like, what?
Okay, thank you, Udo, you know, for the, you know, that notice. on our way here.
Yeah, I'm very
he told me, he said, slowly, please, yeah. Slowly. I said, no problem. So, just in case I didn't hear him, he still put it there. So I'll keep, you know, I'll try my possible best to speak slowly. Today what we're doing is very interesting, I believe. We'll be starting and finishing a book, you know, but trust me, to be a very short sermon, like one of the shortest sermons in the world. And it's a book, you know, most, you know, people don't usually read, you know, maybe because of its location in the Bible. Or maybe because it's the writer is called the minor prophet, like one of the many other minor prophets. And I don't know why they call the minor prophets. I still argue or contest why scholars call these prophets minor prophets. It's not because they were, you know, short. You know, that's not why they were minor. It's not because they were less spiritual. But I think their sermons were just short, and the period of their reign, you know, was very short. The Old Testament, the Tanakh, is divided into three major sections. The Torah, the Nevim and Ketuvim. And the Torah is what everybody knows, the Septuagint, the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Then after that, you have the Book of the Prophets, that's the Nevim. And most of us, even I personally, focus on the major prophets. Because for some reason they were very dramatic. The major prophets would be Isaiah, over 50 chapters, of course, that was major. Not because it was a major general, but it was just major. Jeremiah, the prophet of doom. And not because he was a bad person, but because he brought bad news most times, which was actually good news in some sense. If it's from God, it's good news. It's the way we perceive it that it's bad news. Then lastly, Ezekiel, very apocalyptic. It's a book I sometimes struggle to read some of the chapters because I can't have a full grasp of the understanding. Then we also have the other prophets, Samuel, Judges, and Joshua. Then the rest will be the minor prophets, about 12 of them. Most times we don't read those parts in the Bible. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Micah, Malachi, Nahum, Habakkuk. We don't. You know, maybe it's just me.
It's
okay. You know, because when I want to do like a character study, I will focus on, you know, someone's name who really rings a bell. You know, but this parts of, they're also part of the scripture. They're actually part of the Jewish Tanakh. That's what they read, you know. It's part of the... So I'll be choosing the last book, not necessarily chronologically, but the last book in text, the book of Malachi. That's what we'll be starting and finishing today. Do not be worried. Do not be afraid. It's just four chapters. And this prophet wrote at a very interesting time. Every time was interesting in the Bible. But he wrote at the time where you feel Israel should give full devotion to God. You know, when the Israelites were in exile, they were crying, you know, by the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down, and there we were when we remembered Zion. So you feel, man, these guys are in pain, you know. If God can, you know, take them home and build for them their walls and build for them their temple, perhaps they will worship God. Perhaps, you know, which actually happened. They were returned from the exile, led, spearheaded by Nehemiah, then Ezra. The walls were built in just 52 days. Then later the temple was built. And one would think, okay, the Israelites should. Now you have the temple. Now you have the walls. So, worship God. But interestingly, that was not the case. It was a different ballgame entirely. And that brought about the book, the prophet, Malachi. The scripture I wanted to... last month, because I'm doing the chronological study of the Bible, and I wanted to share about two figures in the Bible, Gideon and what's the name of this funny guy, Jephthah. You know, but I thought, no, maybe. So I went ahead because of Malachi. I said, no, I think this is what we need at this.
Slowly,
in Udo's voice,
slowly.
Okay.
Slowly.
Yeah, slowly. You know. So I think this is what, you know, we need. This is what, you know, and even though this is in the Old Testament, Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Romans 4, he said, these stories were written to teach us. So, we can actually learn from that. We should actually learn from that. In fact, we must actually learn from that.
We're convinced.
All right. So, I'll start reading Malachi. I'll start reading from chapter 1. At some point, I'll stop and I'll talk, share insights. If I ask questions, most of my questions will be rhetoric. Some of them, you should answer them just in your mind. I might ask for a show of hands. But it's going to be a very interesting... It's going to be a very interesting, you know, journey through the old book, the old four chapters of the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 1. I read from verse 1. A prophecy, the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord, but you ask, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord? Yet I have loved Jacob. But Esau I have hated, and I have turned his ill country into a wasteland and left his inheritance to the desert. Desert Jackals. Edom may say, though we have been crushed, we will rebuild the ruins. But this is what the Lord Almighty says. They may build, but I will demolish. They will be called a wicked land, a people always under the wrath of the Lord. You will see it with your own eyes and say, great is the Lord, even beyond the borders of Israel. This few first five verses just tells me that God actually, it's not by right to be loved by God. It's not because I've done something wonderful to deserve it. It's God's choice. God can choose to say you're going to be on the other side. Applying this to discipleship life, it's not by right we are all seated here this morning. It is a privilege. Not because we are very good at reading our Bibles. Not because we have the best character at work. You know, another exemplar. It is a privilege. He said, Jacob, I love. That's the short learning I want to pick from you. I continue reading from verse 6. A son honors his father, and a slave his master. If I am the Father, where is the honor due to me? If I am a master, where is the respect due to me, says the Lord Almighty? It is you, priests, who show contempt for my name. Why would God say this at this point in time? Israel cried for years while they were in exile. God, you know, would repent and he heard their cry. Yeah, they could not worship as they ought to. If you guys know the story of Daniel, it was very, very difficult. In fact, he had to go to a room. He even had spies come to check him out. What is he doing? You're going to report him. You can't worship freely, you know. And God redeemed them, helped them to build their wall, helped them to build a temple. And at the point where you think they should give full submission to worship God, it wasn't what they were doing. They were doing exactly the opposite. And you'll see how interesting this is. You'll see how interesting it goes. It's like a dialogue between God and them. God is asking and he's answering. God said, you said this, but this is the way it should be. And God said, I'll read again the second part of verse 6. He said, it is you, priests, who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have you shown contempt for your name? And God answered in verse 7, by offering defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? He said, by saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. And if I apply this today to as disciples, we're not in this. All is good? All is good. If we apply this today as a disciple, I'm a priest actually. In case you do not know, you are priests. The Bible says so, not Victor Hobo. 1 Peter 2. You know the scripture? 9 to 11. He said, for you are a whole royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And God was telling these guys here that you ask, how have we done this to your name? How have we defiled your name? He said, it's you guys. It's you, priests. If God's name is not being respected in the 21st century, it's because priests are not doing enough. If you respect your father, if you treat your father with respect, your colleagues, your friends, when they come to your house, they treat him with respect. If I treat God with respect, my colleagues will treat him with respect. If I uphold God's name, my colleagues cannot bring God's name down before me. Because they know I don't joke with my God. And God was telling these guys then, it's the way it is. Everybody doesn't treat God well, you know, everything, you know, God's name is contemptible, his altar is contemptible. God said, are you guys offering me the right thing? Are you giving me the respect? If I were your father, if I were your master, is this what you would give me? And I'm asking us this morning, we don't offer sacrifices. Do we? I don't know. Is there any brother here that still offers sacrifices on the altar? Besides Narek. This guy is dangerous, man. He's still living in the Old Testament. You know. Nobody. In fact, we don't offer, but we are the living sacrifices. So when we offer ourselves, do you offer yourself to God as you offer your master? As you offer your father? I'll continue reading. It gets very, very interesting. Very interesting story. Verse 7. By offering defiled food on my altar, but you ask, how have you defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Then he told them, he said, try offering them to your governors. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? You know, it's one of the diciest thing, the trickiest thing is when you want to demand something from a disciple. Like, bro, I think you can give more. I think you can, whether it's service, whether it's money, whether it's energy, whether it's time. Like, and the person said, but I'm giving. You know, and it's nice because you don't know. I don't see your heart. I don't know how much you're giving. Do you know? But, I mean, I don't have to ask us to show our hands, but if you look at your heart in the past few weeks, in the past few months, the service you've been giving this church, the service you've been, your time, your energy, is that what God deserves, really? And that's what God was asking these guys, is that... And oh, another way to ask that would be, is that your best? Is that your dead best, like your best? You know. One of the things I started learning here was, and it was the hard way, was not knowing the precise number of the church, because whenever people ask me, oh, how many are in Dusseldorf, I before coming, I thought it was 30, because that was what. Stefan told me, was it 30 something? Stefan mentioned the number, it was around 30. But when I got here, weeks and months, I knew, no, it was, it's not 30, you know. It's like a range. Maybe between 17 and 25 or 17 and 30, but it's not exactly 30, you know. And it's, and I can say that because it's very hard for me to place a number when sometimes we have service and half of the church is not around, you know. And sincerely, people have genuine reasons to not be around. I know people usually have genuine reasons to not be around. You know, like people fall sick, our body wears and tears. You know, man, sometimes when I hear a disciple is sick, I'm usually very scared. Like, oh my God, I pray. Should you go check on that person? Oh, no, it's just sick. Okay, fine. You know, but when it is habitual, when it is constant, it questions the kind of sickness. The kind of sickness that makes you fall sick on Sunday, and by Monday, you're very ready to go to work. Isn't that a selective sickness? So it's usually hard for me to say, ah, bro, you can give more, because I don't know your heart. I don't know how you've given. You know, I don't know if you're not showing up in church, or even showing up in church like 10, 15 minutes late is still your best. I don't know, because people actually have situations, you know. But you know your heart. I know some of us are giving our best. And God bless you. But I can ask you to give less. That will be for sure. God demands the best of best. Okay? If you're giving less than your best, can you please try and give your best? Because God is asking you this morning. If I were your master, if I were your boss at work, is that what you would give me? You know, it's. I had a friend come over yesterday. He's a colleague, and I was hoping he would sleep over, so I'll bring him to church. I was trying to convince him, you know, you can't sleep over. He said, no. He said, no, I have committed to go to a party tonight. You know, and I really need to be there. Yeah, I said, fine. I tried everything. I told him, I'm going to, you know, well, lunch is good, but if you can wait for dinner, I'm trying to, you know, really make some marinade, some chicken. And he said, but I could see the commitment in his eyes, you know, for the party. And I understand. I mean, he's not a disciple. I cannot force him. I cannot demand, you know, too much of him. But I hope some of us are not like that, where you would, you know, push that extra mile, to, you know, go for your friend's party, to your colleague's function. You know, maybe it's supposed to last for 2-3 hours. They said, you know, they started the party late, but you still wait till 12 a.m., 1 a.m. It's not easy. We push so hard. And by Sunday morning, you send us text messages that you're stressed. I hope we're not like that. Because if that's the way we are, that's not That's not your best. I know that's not your best. And you know that's not your best. So I beg you, please repent. Do not defile God's table. It's not the king of Dusseldorf. Dusseldorf is so tiny. The earth is so tiny in God's creation. The earth is like a speck. The earth is one of the smallest... Our own star, the sun, is one of the smallest stars in our galaxy. It's very, very tiny. So, God is the king of the whole universe. He's the God of every other God. He's the king of every other kings. He deserves the best of best, not crumbs. It's better we give him some. We don't give him at all, because when you give him, you know, what the verse's name is, it's an insult. It's an insult. That's what he was telling them here. Because they said, how do we defile your name? How do we treat your name as, you know? He said, by offering me lame animals. By offering me blind animals. That's what Israel was doing. A nation that was in slavery for decades, that had been redeemed, that God helped back to build every single thing in the world, the temples. And when everything is settled, like everybody had their jobs, everybody had everything going well, you know, majorly they had accommodation, they had, just like you, let me use me as a very good example. You guys know how, you know, I came from Cairo back here. Some of you who have been sharing, you know how tough it was for my accommodation, and also before I became a working student. So can you imagine, now that I have, you know, working student, things going, I have accommodation, then when you expect, oh man, this is the time Victor should give his best to God, right? Then I start sending text messages like, oh guys, you know, I worked so hard during the week, and I'm sorry I can't show up. That would be encouraging, right? Right? Did I hear a yes? That would be insulting. That would be an insult to God. And some of us are like that. We pray so, oh God, if you bless me, like Israelites, if you bless me with this, if you bless me, if everything, I would. And after the job you beg God for, you cry to God, and God gives you and say, oh God, see you later. Now I'm busy with the job. Now I'm busy with my relationship. Now I'm busy with my friends. Now I'm busy with my colleagues. You know, you put God on pause. You know. Then, you know, see God next week. That's it's how priests defile God's name. The story gets more interesting. Very, very interesting verse. And I said, now plead with God to be gracious to us with such offerings from your hands.
Wait, what verse is that?
Verse 9. Now plead with God to be gracious to us. With such offerings from your hands, will he accept you, says the Lord Almighty. And, you know, it's like I said, it's hard to say, oh, bro, give more, you know.
It's hard to say what?
Bro, give more, you know, like, I'm expecting more from you. Because I don't know if that's your best. But do you really think God will accept that? You know, I was... when I was in campus ministry, there was a time when we had to visit. There was an event. We had to visit the governor's wife. My boss then, you know, campus minister, he tried to expose some of us, and he said we couldn't meet the governor, but we couldn't meet the governor, so we met the governor's wife. And I can remember the event. They were like, thanks, man. They were like, how many thousand people? Like 3,000 people, and everybody's. We're told to sit and wait for like more than 1 hour, and I was getting so impatient. What's happening? What? She's not. And boss looked at me. Victor, sit down. Okay. I don't like sitting. I shouldn't sit for anybody. But guess what? I had to sit my ass down. I sat down, and she came too fast.
Die Bibel spricht nur Russisch.
Okay, sorry.
Bist du selten hier und die versteht fast gar nicht.
Tut mir leid. Ich würde, langsamer sprechen.
Was geht's, langsamer sprechen oder mit der Übersetzung vielleicht?
Also die ist Deutsch würde ihr durch.
Mindestens kannst du noch eine Übersetzer für Lydia da wäre. Das wäre schön, weil das ist wirklich schwer, das zu folgen und sich zu
Thanks. Slowly. All right. Oh, louder. Okay. Okay. Speed. Okay. I'll.
Oh.
And I'm really trying to be slow. I'm just running faster than this. All right.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Thanks. Thank you so much, guys.
Like this.
He told me, man. All right, thanks. Thanks for that. Yes, So I had to sit down, and when she came, she shared. We waited for like more than 1 hour, but she didn't speak up to 20 minutes. And we had to wait. That's not even the governor. That was the first lady of the state. But that's what we do for the princes of the world, right? And it's not just because it's in Nigeria. I experienced it here too, last year, when I for an excursion went to was it the Parliament House? The you guys know that place in Berlin, opposite Angela Merkel's office? Yeah, that's a very very fine place. And there was this minister who was supposed to meet Klaus Minder. Yeah, we had to be there. Like 30 minutes before time to be checked in. They check every single thing, your passport, and we have to sit. He's a very busy man. And, he waited for in a room for 15, 20 minutes before he came in. Yeah, he spent half an hour with us. But the thing is, we have to wait. You have to wait. You wait. He doesn't wait for you. But interestingly, some of us are very, very good every Sunday. We are very good at keeping God waiting. service is 11:30. And if sometimes I think if I had an appointment with my dad, would I be there 11:30 on dots? Because some of us plan to get at 11:30 dots. The time is so valuable, so valuable. You can't even spare one minute or 2 minutes or 5 minutes fellowship. And by one, and this is interesting. I've been in quite a number of churches in different parts of the world. Not when I mean different parts of the world, just Europe and Africa. And the sort of service is one of the shortest services. We are very good with timing. When we say 1.5 hours, 2 hours, we almost don't use more than that. And that's a lot of discipline, and I appreciate that. I respect that. And if you, 2 hours, do the mathematics, out of 24 hours a day, 7 hours in a week, 7 times 24 will be 140. Is that 100 and... How many hours a week? Okay. Thanks. 168 hours. Thank you, Pearl. So 2 hours out of 168 hours a week. Now we still sometimes keep God waiting. Please do not defile God's name. This is not Klaus Mindrup. This is not the governor. This is not Angela Merkel. I continue reading. It's a very, very interesting book, like I told you. You love it? I love it. In verse 10, he said, that one of you would shut the temple door so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty. And I will accept no offering from your hands. My name will be great among the nations. From where the sun rises to where it sits. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to me, because my name will be great among the nation, says the Lord Almighty. You guys know the story of the sons of Aaron. The sons of Aaron in Leviticus 10, Nadab and Abihu. They went to light an unauthorized fire. Because, you know what God did to them? Who knows that story? Yeah, but they were what? Yeah, you, please.
Also die Söhne von Aaron haben das Feuer angezündet, yeah, was eigentlich Gott nicht angefordert hat. Mm-hmm. Und Gott hat sie deswegen getötet. Mm-hmm. Sofort.
Yeah. The fire consumed them immediately.
Also das Feuer hat sie verzehrt.
Sincerely, maybe this is a confession, guys. Sometimes I have very, very evil, unwholesome thoughts. Sometimes I feel maybe we should be in the Old Testament. Some, I just feel we should be in the Old Testament. Maybe that will make us understand how awesome God is. Is it because of grace? Because God is love? But the same God said, my name will be great among the nations. Will you make God's name great among the nations, where you're just giving peanuts of your time, peanuts of your service, peanuts of your energy? But to your governor, you don't give that. To your boss at work, to our career, man. Trust me, I know how I see the way, you know, people work at work, and people burn their ass. People work so hard. You know, but to God, you know, it's love. He understands. Please let us not defile God's name. God is awesome. He's loving, but man, He is terrifying. Verse 12, it says, but you profane it by saying, the Lord's table is defiled and its food is contemptible. And you say, what a burden. And you sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty. When you bring injured, lame, or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hand, says the Lord? Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable meal in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among nations. Yeah, we're given. Like I said, it's hard to tell if that's your best. But if that's not your best, man, and you just consistently are taking God's grace for granted, please repent. You know, I know some disciples. I can think of some names now. Just, I'm not going to say their names to embarrass anybody. I can say some names now where, if I do like this every Sunday, I know these people are going to give their best in church. Come hell or high waters, they are there to give their service, to give their time. They are reliable. I can, you know, no matter what happens. And this is not just my thoughts. This is not just my... I'm sure God also thinks like that. God knows the people, His people, His servants, that are reliable, that He can, you know, give responsibility. That these people would not let me down. Does God see you that way? Does God see you that way? If God does not see you that way, if you don't see yourself that way, then you should be worried. It should be a thing of concern for you. You should be concerned. I should be concerned. Chapter 2, it gets more interesting. And now you priests, and that's us, we're priests, right? We're Christians. And now you priests, this warning is for you. If you do not listen and if you do not resolve to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty, I will send a curse and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have already cursed them because you have not resolved to honor me. Because of you, I will rebuke your descendants. I will smear on your faces the dung from your festival sacrifices, and you'll be carried off with it. And you will know that I have sent this warning. So that, no, I'm reading. Even the reading? Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay, I thought reading, you know, because I'm
going to read. Someone in reading German.
Okay, yeah, okay. Chapter 2, please. The only challenge I have is, I don't know when you get to the verse where I want to, you know, comment on. That's why. You get my point? That's why I'm reading.
First, you have a comment.
We want to tell them.
Yeah, yeah.
To verse 9.
I can also.
Okay.
Und nun, ihr Priester, dieses Gebot gilt euch. Wenn ihr es nicht hören noch zu Herzen nehmen werdet, dass ihr meinen Namen die Ehre gebt, spricht der Herr Zebaoth, so werde ich den Fluch unter euch schicken und euren Segen verfluchen. Ja, ich habe ihn verflucht, weil ihr es nicht wollt zu Herzen nehmen. Siehe, ich will euch den Arm zerbrechen und euch Kot ins Angesicht werfen, Kot eurer Feste. Man wird euch zu ihm hinaustragen. So werdet ihr dann erfahren, dass ich solches Gebot zu euch gesandt habe, damit mein Bund mit Levi bestehen bleibe, spricht der Herr Zebaoth. Denn mein Bund mit ihm war Leben und Friede. Die gab ich ihm, dazu Furcht, dass er mich fürchtete und meinen Namen scheute. Verlässliche Weisung war in seinem Munde, und es wurde nichts Böses auf seinen Lippen gefunden. Er wandelte mit mir friedsam und aufrichtig und hielt viele von Sünden zurück. Denn des Priesters Lippen sollen die Lehre bewahren, dass man aus seinem Munde Weisung suche. Denn er ist ein Bote des Herrn Zebaoth. Ihr aber seid von dem Wege abgewichen und habt viele zu Fall gebracht durch falsche Weisung und habt den Bund mit Levi verdorben, spricht der Herr Zebaoth. Darum habe ich euch verächtlich und unwert gemacht vor dem ganzen Volk, weil ihr meine Wege nicht haltet und die Person anseht, wenn ihr Weisung gebt.
Man, thank you so much. I'm just going to comment on 3, verse 3 and verse 9. In verse 3 said, because of you, I will rebuke your descendants. And that's speaks volume. I mean, God said, he didn't say, I will curse, I will rebuke. Because sometimes when I think about what we do, how we treat our church. Let me ask this question first. How many of us really love our church? If you love church, if you love the soul of church, you have love for the church of God. Let me see your hands up. Stefan does not love the church. Can you step forward so we can stone you? I'm just kidding.
Nicht in
meinem Haus. So we. You know, and. Oh, because of the blood. Oh, so you don't stay in the chairs. Okay, nice. So settled. We love God's church. Aside Stefan.
Sorry, no one wants to get stoned. Everyone is like, yes.
Alright. Okay, Marina already told us we can't stone in our sitting room because she doesn't want that couch to be stained. But we can't stone outside?
No.
Okay. You know, so, settled, we love God's church. How many of us think this is the best thing this church can be? How many of us?
Okay. I don't really follow.
How many of us believe this is the best state God, Joseph of Church can be? Let me see your hands up. No hands. Okay. Okay. Ask you. Don't need to raise your hand for this third question. How many of you think you're giving your best in this church? You know, I ask this question because historically it's always like that. When there's always for a particular period, maybe it's a generation. The standard is usually like this. You know, like the leader comes and raises the standard like this. We see that in the life of Moses. And after it goes low, after that generation, if you look at the trend in the Bible, it's lowered. Then later another, you know, very well, someone leader said, no guys, this is not how it was in those days. Let's give our best, you know.
Tschüss. Schön, dass ihr da wart.
You know, and that's someone like Joshua. Then he raises it again. No. Standard is usually like, yeah, then it's like Moses, then Joshua. Yeah. Then he raises it, boosts again. Guy, let's, this is not how we used to do. Let's do more. Then he raises it again. Yeah, they keep doing what they're doing until maybe he dies. Hopefully, you know, they hope, oh yeah, he's dead now. Now we can go back to our former ways. Then someone else comes, you know. That's why we have the reign of the judges. You know, another judge raised the standard. You know, they go back. See, there's always a declination in potency through generations. It's a normal trend in the Bible. So every generation must try to give their best. You know what? Just because you know that the next generation have a tendency to lower the standard. If we all agree that we are not giving our best now, or this is, okay, maybe you're giving your best, but we are not. We all agree that this is not the best state the church can be, what will become of Teal in his time? What kind of church are we living for Teal or for Philip? And Narek? And other children? Am I communicating? I hope I'm communicating. When I stop communicating, when I stop making sense, just let me know. All right, and verse, so that's why he said I will be your descendant, because when we do things, think about Theo. When you are, when you send that text on Sunday, when you say I have a headache, think about Theo. Think about Theo. Can you stand up and say, Theo, follow uncle, follow auntie, be like me, you know. Give your best Monday to Friday at work. On Saturday, meet your with your friend. But Saturday, if you're too tired, it's okay. God understands. Just say that. Can you tell Tio that? If you can tell Tio that, maybe you should keep doing it. If you can't, repent. If you can't, repent. It's not sustainable. If we're all like you, this is just for in every individual. If we're all like you, would we still have a church? If everybody consistently have always a reason to not show up, a reason to not, you know, we even have a church. Verse 9, he says, so I have caused you to be despised and humiliated before all the people because you have not followed my ways, but you have shown partiality in the matters of the law. And it's...
Sorry, please.
Yeah, sorry about that. You know, you shown partiality in the matter of the law. And that's because there will be imbalance in the church. You see one brother, he has a headache, he's dying, he still shows up in church, you know. You see one sister, she has a headache, she's always, you know, she doesn't, she has accommodation problems, she has this, but she still shows up. And you see someone else, and you're confused because there's imbalance in the church, because we're supposed to be soldiers of Christ, and that is why soldiers receive same training, the way same uniform, you know, should have the same standard. But when there is disorder, there's, you know, there's no harmony. It's just like music. Verse 10, do we not all have one Father? Did not one God create us? Why do we profane the covenant of our ancestors by being unfaithful to one another? You guys know that scripture in Ephesians? This reminds me of Ephesians 4, verse 4 to 6. It says, we're baptized into one body, right? One body, one spirit, one Father, one name, one Father of all. So, it's the same Jesus is not, who said, how come this guy would give his best, come hell or high waters, and how come this guy's best? It's like an insult before God. How come? Judah has been unfaithful. A detestable thing has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. Judah has desecrated the sanctuary the Lord loves by marrying women who worship a foreign god.
Where is that?
Verse 11. Can someone read in Dutch? Just read in Dutch then. From verse 12. From 12 to 16.
Aber der Herr wird den, der solches tut, ausrotten aus den Zelten Jakobs mit seinem ganzen Geschlecht, auch wenn er noch dem Herrn Zebaoth Opfer bringt. Weiter tut ihr auch das. Ihr bedeckt den Altar des Herrn mit Tränen und Weinen und Seufzen, weil er das Opfer nicht mehr ansehen, noch es mit Wohlstand von euren Händen empfangen mag. Ihr aber sprecht, warum das? Weil der Herr Zeuge war zwischen dir und der Frau deiner Jugend, der du untreu geworden bist, obwohl sie doch deine Gefährtin und die Frau ist, mit der du einen Bund geschlossen hast. Einer, in dem noch ein Rest von Geist war, hat das nicht getan. Was sucht dieser eine? Nachkommenschaft von Gott. Darum so seht euch in eurem Geist, so seht euch vor in eurem Geist und werde keiner treulos der Frau seiner Jugend. Wer ihr aber Gram ist und sie verstößt, spricht der Herr, der Gott Israels, der bedeckt mit Frevel sein Kleid, spricht der Herr Zebaoth. Darum, so seht euch vor in eurem Geist und brecht nicht die Treue.
And please read 17 and 18 too.
Ihr macht den Herrn unwillig durch euer Reden. Ihr aber sprecht, womit machen wir ihn unwillig? Damit, dass ihr sprecht, wer Böses tut, der gefällt dem Herrn. Und an solchen hat er Freude. Oder wo ist der Gott, der da straft?
Sincerely, sometimes...
Ganz ehrlich.
This is a confession. I sometimes ask this question too. Where is the God of justice? Why is God just? Maybe because some of us are so comfortable, some of us feel because of God's grace, that's why we disrespect God. Sometimes I ask this, God, can you just, you know, just break Marek's neck, you know, just his neck, you know, so that he can repent. But sometimes I feel, man, God, why is there so much disorder? Why would somebody break a sweat and the other? Why, God, where's the justice? This is what some of us make some of us think about. Boris, please, can you continue? From chapter 3, verse 1.
Siehe, ich will meinen Engel senden, der vor mir her den Weg verweisen soll. Und bald wird kommen zu seinem Tempel der Herr, den ihr sucht, und der Engel des Bundes, den ihr begehrt. Siehe, er kommt, spricht der Herr Zebaoth. Wer wird aber den Tag seines Kommens ertragen können, und wer wird bestehen, wenn er erscheint? Denn er ist wie das Feuer eines Schmelzers und wie die Lauge der Wäscher. Er wird sitzen und schmelzen und das Silber reinigen. Er wird die Söhne Levi reinigen und läutern wie Gold und Silber. Dann werden sie dem Herrn Opfer bringen in Gerechtigkeit. Und es wird dem Herrn wohlgefallen, das Opfer Judas und Jerusalem wie vormals und vor langen Jahren. Und ich will zu euch kommen, zum Gericht, und will ein schneller Zeuge sein gegen die Zauberer, Ehebrecher, Meineidigen und gegen die, die Gewalt und Unrecht tun, den Tagelöhnern, Witwen und Waisen und die den Fremdlingen drücken und mich nicht fürchten, spricht der Herr Zebaoth. Until
you are at what verse now? 6? No, 5?
I'm 6.
Okay, alright. Just one line of comments from the end of verse 5. It says... I'm sorry. I wasn't following English. So the last verse you read is 5, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I found myself. So he says, so I'll come to put you in verse 5, to put you on trial. I'll be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress widows and fatherless, and deprive the foreigners among you of justice. But you do not fear me, says the Lord. Please continue from verse 6.
Dich, der Herr, wandle mich nicht. Und ihr habt nicht aufgehört, Jakobs Söhne zu sein. Ihr seid von eurer Väterzeit an immer da abgewichen von meinen Geboten und habt sie nicht gehalten. Kehrt um zu mir. Kehrt um zu mir, so will ich zu euch umkehren, spricht der Herr Zebaoth. Ihr aber sprecht, wovon sollen wir umkehren? Ist recht, dass ein Mensch Gott betrübt? Doch ihr betrübt mich. Ihr aber sprecht, womit betrügen wir dich? Mit dem Zehnten und der Abgabe. ihr seid verflucht, mich betrügt ihr allesamt. Bringt aber die Zehnten in voller Höhe in mein Vorratshaus, auf dass ich meinem Haus Speise sei. Und prüft mich hiermit, spricht der Herr Zebaoth, ob ich da, euch dann nicht das Himmelsfenster auftun werde und Segen herabschütten, die Fülle. Und ich will um euren Willen den Fresser bedrohen, dass er euch die Frucht auf dem Acker nicht verderben soll und der Weinstock auf dem Felde euch nicht unfruchtbar sei, spricht der Herr Zebaoth. Dann werden euch alle Völker glücklich preisen, denn ihr sollt ein herrliches Land sein, spricht der Herr Zebaoth.
Alright, thank you very much. You know, I think, I don't know, at least Germany is a G20 country and the economy is very, very stable compared to a lot of nations around the world. In fact, in the list of best countries, among the top five. I don't think we have, I mean, I think I must commend, I don't know, I'm not a part of the accounting ministry, I don't know, and I didn't bother to ask Marina for the statistics. I was everybody doing the tithing thing. But I think, I believe we're doing well. You know, this is something we should also ask each other, you know, during our discipling time. How are you doing with your tithing? I mean, Stefan asked me, was it last week, Stefan? Last week. And he asked me last week, said, oh, bro, by the way, how are you doing? I said, yeah, good, I'm good. He said, like, how are you good? Good. I said, man, good. Even while I didn't have a job, I was paying my nights. I'd rather go hungry, you know. But really, later I was thankful that he could follow up on me. You know, at first I was like, man, Stefan, you should know me, man. I give. You know, but then I was thankful because I can also deceive myself and, you know, give excuses or do whatever I want to do, plan my trips and just give God the crumbs. It's two different things, you know. Putting God first and giving God the crumbs. That's what he's saying here. Do you give me your best crops? Do you give me your best crops? Do you? Verse 13. He said, "You have spoken arrogantly against me," says the Lord. Yet we said, "You ask, what have we said against you?" You have said it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out the requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly, evildoers prosper, and even when they put God to test, they get away with it. Now, one of the favorite scriptures I love in Hebrews is just this phrase, very short phrase. It was repeated four times in Hebrews. You should read through it. He said, "Today, as you hear His word, do not harden your hearts." There is a tendency when you hear the truth that hits your bones to harden your heart. It's always like that. It's always like, oh, no. You know, I don't know the state of our hearts. These are not the words of Victor Hugo. I hope this is Malachi. But I'll persuade us today, as you hear the book of Malachi, if you're giving your best, please keep it up. Do not think God is not seeing you. I believe there's a scroll in heaven recording every deed, as said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. In the end of that chapter, it says, every deed under the sun, whether good or evil, the man will give account to God. If you're not giving your best, if you're not giving at all, whether your service, your energy, your time, your money, may God bless you. But please do not abuse God's blessing. Please aspire to give, so we do not profane God's name.
Sorry,
it's okay. It's fine. It's okay. So then it says, then those. Now this is one of the things I really like about this book. It says in verse 16, then those who fear the Lord talk to each other. You know, they like, oh, man. And that's when you are caught to the act. Like, if you know the scripture, Acts chapter 2, verse 36 to 40, you know, when it says, and they were caught to the act. When the people heard this, they were caught to the act. They said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? If you hear this, you can fall on two sides. Then are you hiding your heart and block it and say, you know, you'd be hiring like, The Bible actually stated that, not just me. Or you can fall into the second section of people who says, then those who fear the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in the presence concerning those who fear the Lord and honor his name. And I say today, there's a scroll in heaven that has a list of everybody sitting there in just above to me. This is not a coincidence. And it knows those who actually heard and, yeah, fear his name. Otherwise. On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as a father has compassion and spared his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. Can Boris read from chapter 4, from verse 1 to the end? It's just 6 verses. Chapter 4, yeah.
So, above the last 4 verses, like...
Yeah, there's chapter 4.
We don't have a
4. We don't have 4.
In German, that's interesting.
Okay. And then there's nothing more?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, verse 21, chapter 3 ends at 18
in English.
Okay, then it's... 19.
19 to the end. 19 to the end.
19.
That's interesting. I just learned that today.
It's always different in certain translations.
Wow. Denn siehe, es kommt der Tag, der brennen soll wie ein Ofen. Da werden alle Verbrecher und gottlosen Stroh sein. Und der kommende Tag wird sie anzünden, spricht der Herr Zebaoth. Wer wird ihnen weder Wurzel noch Zweig lassen? Euch aber, die ihr meinen Namen fürchtet, soll aufgehen die Sonne der Gerechtigkeit und Heil unter ihren Flügeln. Und ihr sollt herausgehen und springen wie die Mastkälber. Ihr werdet die Gottlosen zertreten, denn sie sollen Staub unter euren Füßen werden. An dem Tage, den ich machen will, spricht der Herr Zebaoth. Gedenkt an das Gesetz meines Knechtes Mose, das ich ihm befohlen habe auf dem Berg Horeb für ganz Israel, an alle Gebote und Rechte. Siehe, ich will euch senden den Propheten Jeremia, ehe der große und schreckliche Tag des Herrn kommt. Der soll das Herz der Väter bekehren zu den Kindern und das Herz der Kinder zu ihren Vätern, auf dass ich nicht komme und das Erdreich mit dem Bann schlage.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Boris. Thank you all for listening. I don't want the service to end on a sad note. Please, let's cheer up. Let us pay attention to what Prophet Malachi is saying. As Paul said in Romans 15 verse 4, these stories were written to teach us. The word of God is alive. This is the only book on the planet that needs no revised edition. It was alive 2,000 years ago when Jesus was here. It was alive 2,514 years ago, probably when Malachi was writing this. And it's still alive today. Very effective, sharper than a double-edged sword. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It penetrates into dividing the soul and the spirit. All right, let us pray. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for, you know, the dynamics. Thank you for, you know, saving us, for, you know, still... In fact, we had 2 options. Stefan went somewhere immediately. Thank you for giving this brother's wisdom. Stefan, Vlad, and, you know, Kosti, and a lot of brothers with phone call. Oh, man, it's healthy to have this in a church. This body, people are always willing to serve. Thank you so much. You know, if they weren't there, you know, what would we have done? You know. And I'm grateful. But the body, as you stated in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, has many parts, and every part functions for, you know, the whole body, to edify the whole body. Pray, God, I pray that you help every single one of us to function. I pray that you will help the hand to scratch the back, you know, the eyes to see, the legs to walk, so we don't have a paralyzed side of the body, because the church is an organism, not an office. It's an organism. It breathes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for today. In your son's name of prayer. Amen.
Ich wollte einfach mal kurz in die Runde fragen, wie es mit eurem Zeitplan aussieht. Ich habe